to wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is for us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Amen. Our God is greater. He's greater than anything. Thank you, Jesus. Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from hell. Messiah, Lord of all. The body, the bread, the blood, the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah. blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, and all our hope. We just thank you, God, that you sent your Son for us to save us, Jesus. And we honor you and we worship you and we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are Lord of all, over all the universe.
Our God. God with us. He is present here today, and we thank you for that, Jesus. He's bringing peace. Jesus is our peace.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing. Once again, I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is light that shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is light that shadows. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is life, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear.
Lord, we give the balance of our service to you this morning. Pray, Lord, that everything that you once said would be said this morning, that your word, that your message would be spoken loud and clear to each and every one of us, and that we would hear and receive exactly what you have to say, Father. Lord, help us today to become the people you want us to become, to shed the old and to take on the new, to be encouraged by you and to be directed by the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get started this morning, let me just say one other thing, specifically to those of you joining us at home or via video. There was a moment this morning where you may have heard some silence, just some quietness, and we had an individual here that was led by the Holy Spirit to read aloud some scripture to us this morning. And I want you to know that we are a full gospel Bible-believing church. We believe that the Holy Spirit works today as he did all throughout Scripture, that he gives us gifts and he gives us the ability to speak at times that it's not scripted, it's not planned, but it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we experienced here in service this morning. If you were at home watching, I apologize you couldn't hear that this morning, but that is what was going on during a little bit of our silent time this morning. What do you think of when you hear the word metamorphosis? That's a big word, first of all, I understand that. Most of us think about a butterfly. We think about the morphing of that caterpillar changing into really a beautiful butterfly. But when I was thinking about this whole concept, this whole idea of metamorphosis, I got to tell you, I had a flashback to a TV show that I used to watch and really enjoy as a kid. Some of you may have already guessed it. The Incredible Hulk. Surely you remember this show playing on TV starring Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. It was a big deal for a few years on TV. And you may already know the premise of the show, but let me just give you a quick overview this morning for those of you who may not be familiar with it. Dr. David Banner was exposed to a very high level of gamma rays, and it caused a reaction within his body. And then every time that he would get angry, he would morph into this giant green Hulk character. The show was actually one of the first Marvel comics to ever be made into a TV show. And of course, the Hulk was made popular again here in the last few years with all these recent Marvel movies that we've, I'm sure, at least heard of, if not watched. But this idea, this concept of becoming something else is a great example of metamorphosis, of the change that occurs. See, it's much more than an external change, but it's a change that starts from and comes from within the person. In that show, when Dr. Banner got angry and became the Hulk, the producers didn't just slap some paint on him and throw him in a different costume or some other change of clothes. They brought in a whole different actor to take on that role, so that it was obvious that everything about him had changed, had gone through this process of morphing. Again, if you're familiar with the show, you know it took place in the late 70s, early 80s, so the effects and the graphics by today's standards were pretty cheesy. We'd look at it today and kind of slap our heads and shake our heads a little bit about how they did things, but the concept was there. It hit the nail on the head regarding this idea of metamorphosis. See, it's far more, that whole concept is far more than just exterior changing, something from the outside. It's a complete transformation that starts from within and then eventually affects the exterior in some way. When that caterpillar that we thought about earlier turns into a butterfly, it's not the outside that begins the process. We might see some change on the outside, but the change actually starts from within. And when that morph is completed, a whole new being, a whole new creature is exposed. That's exactly what our Christian lives are supposed to look like. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Romans 12:2, we read Paul's words, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And 2 Corinthians 3:18, "We who with unveiled faces will reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." When we make the decision to follow Christ, when we acknowledge our sinful condition and our need of a Savior, we begin this process of metamorphosis, of change. And that change has to take place starting from within our lives. And as that inner change takes place, a whole new being is then exposed to everyone around us. We are at that time, as we morph, we are becoming reborn individuals as new creatures in Christ. None of us starts that process by changing the outside with hopes that it'll affect the inside. It starts from within and eventually has an effect outside. Think about for a minute, when we think of this idea of change, think about our world, this place, this planet we call the Earth. Every year it goes through and makes its way through four different seasons. Now, here in the Midwest, we see a very distinct change in those four seasons, from winter to spring to summer to fall and back around to winter again. As each of those seasons occurs, the outside of our planet changes. Grass goes from green to brown. Trees drop their leaves. Water freezes and thaws again. But in that whole process, the inside of the planet doesn't change. It's still made up of the different layers, the crust and the core, and I'm not a scientist, I don't know them all. But it still has all those different layers within. Because the outside changes don't affect the inside of the planet. Kind of like with us. Sure, we might do a few things differently, but that outside doesn't really affect us internally. It happens the other way around. Our circumstances, our environment might change, the places we're at might be a little differently, but it has to start inwardly as we go through this process. It's a supernatural transformation that occurs, and it occurs by the power of the Holy Spirit that is living within us. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. And when that takes place, then the transformation process can begin. This is the kind of change that Saul experienced. He was a completely changed individual, really inside and out, after he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Before that encounter, he was in direct opposition to anything outside the Pharisaical laws that he had come to live by. If they didn't line up with his way of thinking, his way of doing things, then they were wrong. In fact, it may be one of his lowest points at all. We read that he was even giving approval to murder. In Acts chapter 7, it talks about Stephen, who's giving his speech to the Sanhedrin. And Stephen is rightly accusing them of all kinds of different atrocities that they committed, ultimately calling them murderers of the prophets and murderers of the Messiah. Of course, that didn't sit well with the Sanhedrin. So they took him, they rushed him outside, and they stoned him to death. And in Acts chapter 1, it says this: Saul was there giving approval to his death. He was condoning, he was approving murder. Saul even admits to the fact that he did this in Acts 22, verse 20. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. So he confesses that this is the type of individual he was. Saul had gained a reputation. People knew he was against the spreading of this new gospel message. They knew he was against the teachings of Jesus. But then something amazing happened. Something absolutely supernatural occurred. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what it is you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Saul went through, or started to go through, this process of metamorphosis. The wicked persecutor of the saints met Jesus Christ, and a change began to take place in his life. Sure, in this case, there was some outward physical change. He was blind, at least for a time. But it's not that lack of physical vision that caused Saul to become this new being. What caused him to change was when he met Jesus and received the Holy Spirit into his life. Then his entire being began to change. We continue reading, we hear that the Lord asked Ananias to go speak to Saul. Acts chapter 9 and verse 7. Ananias went to the house and he entered it, placing his hand on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This once wicked man met Jesus. And after meeting Jesus, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that encounter on that road to Damascus, and that meeting of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, transformed Saul's very life. Acts goes on to tell us that he spent the next several days with the disciples. He spent the next days with the very people that he wanted to drag back to Jerusalem and lock up. In fact, Acts 9:20 says, "At once he, Saul, began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God." That's a change in his life. People that heard him could not believe what they were hearing. In fact, if you read Scripture, it says they were astonished. Absolutely. This man who went to the chief priest to get a letter to go to Damascus to drag them back is now preaching and telling them about who Jesus is. He wanted to drag them back to Jerusalem and have them punished. But now in Acts 9:22 it says, "Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ." Saul changed, completely changed. In fact, it made the Jews mad that he had changed so much. And after a period of time, the word doesn't say exactly how much, but after a period of time, those same Jews that he was friends with, that he was partners with, that he wanted to help persecute the Christians with, were now conspiring to kill him because he was so different. We know from our time in the Word that Saul's name was changed and Saul became known as Paul. We know that he was responsible for taking the gospel all over Asia and the surrounding land at that time in history. And we know that by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he wrote a majority of what we now call the New Testament text. He spread the gospel anywhere and everywhere he went. That was his new role, even going to prison for the sake of spreading the gospel. And while the word doesn't detail Paul's death, tradition tells us that he was beheaded. And he was beheaded because he was adamant about spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very gospel he tried to stop spreading now was in part a reason for his very death. Paul himself even knew that this was a matter of time, that this was going to happen. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 6, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Those are some incredible words coming from the same man who wanted to chase down Christians and throw them into prison. There's a complete reversal of who he is. None of this happened because Paul made some exterior changes in life. His life was transformed because he met Jesus, and from the inside out, he started to go through this process of metamorphosis in his life. All of that brought on by that meeting of Christ on the road and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changed his direction in his life. He started walking a completely different road. He was on a whole new journey from that point on, changing from a persecutor to a persecuted individual. There was total change. Now, while our journey, our road in which we walk personally, may not ever match up to Saul's or Paul's journey, it is this kind of change that we see in his life that God is calling us to. In fact, it's this kind of drastic change that he is expecting in our lives. We cannot continue on in our old ways, doing our old things, thinking our old way of thinking once we meet Jesus. Saul could no longer be the same person he was. Oh yeah, okay, I met Jesus, I know you, I'm still going to get people and throw them in prison. No, it can't be. There has to be a complete change. Remember what we read just a few moments ago. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We can no longer think the way the world thinks. We can no longer seek the same things that the people of this world seek. But that change can only take place as we allow our lives to be transformed. Not just slightly altered, but transformed. Grab onto that word this morning. This isn't just a little difference here or a little difference there. This is being made completely new. Too many believers today, too many of us, honestly, too many of us sitting here only want the little slight alterations to occur. We don't want to give up on all the other things that we so desire. We just want to paint those butterfly wings on and still expect us to fly. For us to be the Christians that God is calling us to be, for us to go through this process of morphing and being reborn, God tells us that we have got to be transformed from the inside out. Our lives have to be made completely new, just like Saul's was. Well, in fact, it wasn't until Saul's life changed that he began to understand what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will was all about. We may not know this, but every single caterpillar that's born has within itself the very cells and the very hormones that it needs to go through that process of transformation, to go through that process of morphing into that butterfly. They're within that caterpillar from the beginning. Every single human being that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit living within them. And it is the Holy Spirit living within us that helps us to go through that process of transformation, to go through that process of morphing into the new creatures that He has called us to be. So whether you want to think about a butterfly or the Incredible Hulk or Saul's journey on that road, The bottom line is a change needs to occur in our lives, and it's far beyond simple exterior surfacey type stuff. It's a deep change from within that must transform us. If you were to take a rotten piece of wood, or, I'll confess, there's some on my house that needs to be fixed. But if I were to take that rotten piece of wood and paint it, it would look better. From a distance, it would look great. Even up close, it might not look bad. But guess what? It's still a rotten piece of wood. Until it's changed, it's still going to be the same inside. We have to, as believers in Jesus Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of us starting inside and allow us to change and become who He wants us to become. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to have complete control of our lives, to change us into the adults, to change us into the reborn creatures that we were designed to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. This idea of morphing or metamorphosis may sound comical or cartoonish to us, but it's a clear representation of the transformation that needs to take place in our lives. A transformation that comes by the Holy Spirit within us. We are living in a day and an age and a time where we cannot allow ourselves to be the same old creatures we used to be. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to change us and to begin to prepare us for the days that lie ahead and for the plan that He has for us this morning. So I ask you, right here, right now, I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When I ask this question, you have got to be honest with yourself. If we can't be honest with ourselves, we're never going to be honest with anybody, including God. We have got to be honest with ourselves. Ask yourself, where am I in this process of metamorphosis? Where am I on this whole journey of change and transformation? Have I just started my walk? Am I halfway through? Where am I in all of this? What change has occurred in me? And what change still needs to take place? Am I still in that caterpillar stage? From a human perspective, maybe we would say, are we still in that Saul stage? Are we still acting and behaving like the pharisaical people that are around us? That's a big question. Are we acting like the pharisaical people that are around us? Don't think the Pharisees are a bygone thing in Scripture. There are a lot of people today that still live and act like the Pharisees did. Am I still behaving like the pharisaical people surrounding me, having some form of godliness but denying its very power? Or have I moved into the Paul stage of life? Acts 20:24. I consider my life worth nothing, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Every one of us that call Christ our Savior need to be transformed into the new creature that He has designed for us to be. If we're not walking that road of transformation, today is the day to start. Today is the day to put off the old self and to walk as the new creature that God wants us to be. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, first of all, I thank you for this idea of transformation, the fact that my old self can disappear and the new being can be seen in and through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to live the same way I used to live when I was a sinner and mixed up in this sinful world and a sinful life. God, you help me to become a completely new individual. Lord, I pray that the transformation in our lives is just as clear as it was in Saul's life. That we would totally change course, totally change path, do a 180, be completely different people than who we used to be. And Lord, I pray that through that process, you would use us to speak your truth, to spread your gospel, to share in the joy and the peace that Jesus Christ offers to every one of us as Lord and Savior of our lives. Father, I do pray this morning, if there is someone listening to this that has no idea what salvation is about, no idea what I'm talking about, Lord, I pray that they would cross paths with somebody this week that would be able to explain your gospel truth to them. Lord, if they're here this morning with us in this room, then I pray that they would have the courage to talk to one of us after service today. If they're home listening, I pray that they would get on the phone to somebody they know that is a believer in Jesus Christ. Lord, there are countless people in this world who don't know or understand what it means to go through this process of metamorphosis. Lord, I pray this week you would bring someone across our path who we can share with, who we can talk to, who we can tell about the change that awaits for them in their lives. God, fill us with the words to speak and the strength to speak them. Lord, use us for your glory and honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Join me. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Jesus, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.